We have the WJOX recruiting analyst, Jacob Allison, in studio with us. Jacob, appreciate you stopping by.
What's going on, guys?
Well, I guess the top story is everybody thinks Cyrus Quandro is going to flip. He seemed to be a lock for Alabama, even though he hadn't committed yet because of his brother, of course, and from Maryland. What can you tell us latest on him?
Yeah, this story has gotten so convoluted now, and you start to hear so many different things. You start to hear rumors that, you know, you read most of the Alabama pundits. They're saying, ah, no big deal. He'll eventually commit to Alabama on signing day. You hear some of the Auburn boards. They're saying, ah, you know, it's maybe more of a race between Auburn and somebody else. You hear all kind of rumors about, you know, how much Ari, his older brother, loves it at Alabama. Then you start hearing stuff about how much Ari hates it at Alabama and regrets it. You know, all these different things, and it's really hard. I think we're at the point now where you just it sounds cliche to say it, but you really just have to wait and see what he decides to do on signing day because, yeah. You know, there's so much out there, it's impossible to process. And, you know, if Auburn's got him on campus this weekend, as I think they're expected to, then that's – you know, that's trouble if you're an Alabama supporter, but you know, I still think deep down he winds up at Alabama when all's said and done.
Yeah, and he's considering Iowa, New Mexico, as well as Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn jumped into it for him when Miami decided to get rid of Randy Shannon. He dropped Miami, as many recruits did, and threw Auburn into the mix there. And, yeah, Iowa, and he's had that weird affinity for New Mexico, which is a disaster of a program. I think they were 2-10, or they had a horrible record this past year.
Well, if you live in Maryland, I guess New Mexico might be a more considerable climate.
Maybe so. You know, it's something about it out there that he likes, and he's one of those guys that you know is a little bit different. And I think you know it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he decides to do. But it's going to be signing day, and we'll just have to see.
Switching gears now to Georgia, and they got a commitment from a five-star defensive end, Ray Drew, this morning. And of course, the two signees from Valdosta, Malcolm Mitchell and Jay Rome. Also, they're just building a really solid class. What's the deal with Georgia, man?
Well, they're calling it the Dream Team, and they're really selling it as a the upside when you have a season like Georgia did, and when you had a run like Alabama did a few years ago, and when you have those down runs at a big-time program. The one advantage to that, the one silver lining to that, is you can recruit on the pitch that, hey, come back and help us get it back, help us restore the program to glory, or help us, you know, rebuild whatever it is. And I think it's a pretty easy sell, because usually accompanied with that is a lot of playing time to be offered. Because when a team is bad, if you're a good player and you can get on the field, you know, you'll play and you'll play early. So I think that's what they've sold all these recruits in the state of Georgia, which has had a really nice year as far as prospects go. They've said, come in, be part of the Dream Team, we're going to bring Georgia back. And it's, you know, it shows some desperation, I think, on Mark Richt's part, because he knows he's on the hot seat, but he's gone out and done what he's needed to do and brought a lot of big time prospects in. Isaiah Crowell, really the one big dog.
Do you think
still
he's
out
a lock
there
for Georgia?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. It's just another one. We're going to have to wait and see. And if he does anything weird, you just never know.
Right.
And Auburn's a little bit in the mix with him, too. Some of the rumblings I've heard is that Alabama's backed away from that.
Really?
A little bit. You just never know. And I say that a lot when it comes to recruiting. But
well, this has been a weird season.
Yeah, it really is true. But I think when all is said and done, Isaiah Crowell winds up at Georgia. And it's going to be an outstanding class for them. Good news for Mark Richt, you bring a lot of players in. Bad news is you put expectations back up, because now it's, hey, you went out and signed all these players, you still didn't get it done. Let's get somebody in here that does it right. And, hey, if he lands this class and then has another mediocre season, they get rid of him, somebody – Georgia's going to be a really nice job, because the players will be there even if it just at some point – the mojo of the Mark Richt regime ran out.
Like Larry Coker or
yeah,
Gene
or Philip Fulmer, yeah.
With all this right now, who is Georgia pretty much going to lock up the number one recruiting class?
I don't know. They were, I think in Rivals, I think they were at 8 and Auburn was at 9, or vice versa, this past week. And obviously Auburn had a run of commitments yesterday. They're going
to
bounce up a little bit.
To 6 right now.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new rankings today, so that's good to know. I mean, I think Georgia, you know, maybe an outside shot if they land Crowell and maybe a couple of these other players that they're looking at. But I think that number one spot's still going to wind up with, you know, your Alabama, your Texas, your Florida State. Mm-hmm. You know, if Auburn were to sneak in there and pull off a Crowell and a Quandro, they might have a chance to sneak up in there. The thing about it, though, for me, you go one through five, the difference is paper thin.
Yeah.
And even then, it's all subjective anyway. So, yeah, if you got a top five class, you know, feel pretty darn good about that. If you're 5 to 10, you know, you maybe don't feel quite as good. You know, but 1 through 5, 5 through 10, you know, that's like 1 and 2, really, to me.
Well, here's the question everybody wants answered. There's a young man, a defensive end or defensive lineman from the state of South Carolina, Jadeveon Clowney. Where is he going?
I think he's going to South Carolina, and I think it has a lot to do with his mom. I think if it were, you know, purely about football, I think Alabama's a place he'd like to be, mm-hmm. you know, because of the system and the history and knowing the kind of tutelage he can get under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart.
Sure.
But I think, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, family is always an important factor. And I think it's just going to be tough for him to leave home and leave his mom, who he's very close to, and go too far. So I think in the end it winds up. He winds up at South Carolina, and he's a very important recruit for them. For them to land, for them to let him get out of the state would be very bad.
Would be bad for Spurrier, absolutely.
Sure.
Well, and going more general here, and this is a question. You know, I harp on the fact that I don't think recruiting rankings by services are any more than what they want to sell their product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one service would want to sell to the other, and I realize you host a recruiting show, but
sure.
you don't run a ranking service.
Yeah, I mean,
talk a little bit about that.
As I said, they're subjective, and it's a guidepost. I mean, again, if you know, we saw Alabama, they landed two number one classes in a row
sure.
in 08 and 09, and they win a championship in 2009. So it can certainly indicate, you know, that things are going well for your program. You know, that said, Texas has never fallen off, and we saw the season they just had.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State really never fell off, and the last few years under Bobby
Bowden,
they were just extremely mediocre. You know, Notre Dame has put up some top classes, mm-hmm. and they struggle. You know, they had a couple of good years under Charlie Weiss early in his tenure, and the recruiting classes got better and reflected that. But then they still went downhill anyway.
Right.
So it you know you there are so many factors that go into the success of a program. And they're very different from what goes into the success in a recruiting class. In the recruiting class, you're signing a bunch of players, you know, that have been hyped up, that various people think are good players, and that includes the coaches.
Sure.
You know, it's very rare you see a five-star player that, you know, nobody's, yeah, you know, we don't, you know, that kid's not really good. The
mm-hmm.
You know, somebody, if a kid's a five-star player, somebody big is recruiting
right.
him. I mean, that's going to be a constant. You know, but then you take all those players and you throw them in, and then you factor in grades, you factor in homesickness, you factor in, you know, any kind of legal trouble that kids can get. You know, I mean, there's so many factors before you ever even
right.
get to how they develop on the field
right.
that can play
You're
a
right.
factor into what the result ends up being.
That's why you can't – yeah, exactly. You
yeah.
can't
Which is part of the reason why I said if you're ranked 1 through 5 in the rankings, you know, if you're number 2 – And you're spending any time fretting about the fact that you're number 2 and not
yeah,
number 1, you're wasting
matter.
Your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's fun, too. It's entertainment. ESPN has, as always, done a great job of making it as dramatic as possible, and it's
sure.
like election day. You know, you see the recruits and which way they go, so it should be a fun day on Wednesday. Jacob,
absolutely.
Appreciate you coming in studio and joining us.
Anytime.
On your way out on this Friday afternoon.